We're in a season of great outpouring of the Spirit. The day spring from on high is visiting us through the tender mercies of our God. Draw near with an open heart to receive the blessings of our God through His servant, Pastor Dumeji Elubadebo. Be revived.
Hallelujah. Let's have a seat in God's wonderful presence. You are welcome to the first Thursday meeting in the year 2025. I want to appreciate all that are physically on ground already. And I'm praying for those that are still yet to come to hasten their pace. Good evening, everybody. So I'll be continuing from where I stopped in the bridge service. I believe the Lord has a lot in store for us, and we'll need a lot of grace to be able to receive all the thoughts of God. It's very difficult to say a year of something. You know, I don't use a year of anything because many times the Lord speaks to me. It comes in multiple dimensions, so I can't target something, okay? It's many-sided speaking of God. Of course, I told you that it's a season of greater establishment and abounding fruits. Can we say amen? Amen. We began with a burden of establishment last year and bearing fruits. But now the Lord is saying that He is bringing us into the realm of abounding fruits. Can we all say abounding fruits? Can we say abounding grace? Let's say that again. Say abounding grace. So it's a season of abounding grace and a season of abounding fruits. And that can be summarized as a season of greater establishment. Okay? So that's one of the words the Lord is speaking. But the Lord is speaking beyond that. Okay? The Lord is speaking to us in multiple words. When the Lord speaks, His voice is like the voice of many waters. So, you know, the Lord, when He speaks, He doesn't speak, He speaks one thing in many things, okay? It's many-sided, it's manifold. The wisdom of God, the wisdom of the Father, is a wisdom of manifold wisdom of God. It means, another word for manifold is many-sided, okay? So we're going to be looking at this from many angles, from the area of the exceeding great army, from the area of the abounding fruits, and greater establishment, from the realm of the season of the feast of the Lamb's Passover and with the unleavened bread. Okay, so we are looking at it from all angles. So it's difficult to say our year of some. I'm not against people that do it. It's okay. But for us, it doesn't really fit in because there are many things the Lord is saying in one thing to us. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
So, but I want to continue from where I stopped. During the bridge service, I could not go into the old burden of the Lord because at a particular time, the prophetic spirit took over. I felt I needed to release blessing on the people of God. So we are still on the burden of the unveiling the feast of the Lamb. You can bring out my slide. And the feast of the Lamb's Passover with unleavened bread. The feast of the Lamb's Passover with unleavened bread. Now, I need to say this so that you can see the connections. Now, the Feast of the Lamb's Passover is also the feast that opens the day of the Lord. Okay? Let me say that again. The Feast of the Lamb's Passover is an everlasting feast, of course we know. Is the feast that will open the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is the season where God climaxes His eternal agenda or His purposes in the earth for this age or for this dispensation. So it takes the feast of the Lamb to open up that season. Can we say amen? So oftentimes in scripture, you see the apostles, the prophets, and the apostles refer so much to the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is not exactly limited to the actual physical coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The day of the Lord is a culmination of seasons. What did I say? Let me say, can we hear that? Can we say that again? So when we say day of the Lord, it's a cumulation of seasons. It's a cumulative of seasons that begins with the revelation of the Lamb's feast, okay? Or the revelation of the gospel of the kingdom, or what we know as the everlasting gospel. It is the everlasting gospel that opens the day of the Lord. Okay? So the day of the Lord has already begun. So when you see in the time of the apostles, where they were writing the epistles, they were under the economy of the day of the Lord because of the revelation of light that was accessible to them. So the day of the Lord climaxes in the physical return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And part of the landmarks of the day of the Lord is that the day of the Lord will unleash the armies of heaven. What we know as the exceeding great army. Part of the futures of the day of the Lord is the emergence of God's ultimate army. Is the emergence of God's army. The everlasting arms of God will be revealed in the church. Can we say amen? Amen. It's part of the landmarks of the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord will reproduce or raise an army of sons of God that has never walked the earth before. And that army will close the age. So like I've taught you before, the vision of the Lord's army or the armies of heaven is one side of the coin. The coin, a coin has two sides. One side is a vision of the armies of the Lord. The other side is a vision of the bride of the Lord. Can we say amen? Amen. So the army of the Lord is also the bride. It's just two sides to the vision of the Lord. It is the army that is the bride. Actually, it begins with the army. It climaxes as the bride. Can we say amen?
Amen.
But by army, we are talking about the activity of salvation in the church that will harm the church against the gates of hell. Okay? Can we say amen?
Amen.
Let me say that again. By army, when you say army, you can get the word harmed. So the church will be harmed against the gates of hell. Jesus said that. We know that. In Matthew 16, verse 18, he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So I like what I will build. So oftentimes we quote the scripture without the understanding of the activity of building. There has to be a building of the everlasting arms of God in the church that will be able to prevail against the gates of hell. So we can't prevail against the gates of hell without the revelation of the arms of God. Everybody say arms of God. I can't hear you say that. So the arms of God, or the everlasting arms of God, is what the feast of the Lamb is going to reveal to the church. It is a feast that will harm the church with the wisdom to be harmed against the highest powers of hell. So when you say gates of hell is the highest activity of hell. Highest activity of hell. So the church will be harmed. Part of the activity of the feast of the Lamb, the feast of the Lamb, is that the church will be armed with sufficient wisdom, with sufficient life, against the powers of hell and death. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
So the army is armed against, the bride is consecrated to. The army is harmed against the gates of hell. The bride is the highest level of consecration of the church as relates to his relationship to the Lamb, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. So, there is no way you are a New Testament prophet and apostle and you don't know this. That's how I judge accuracy in prophetic and apostolic ministry, is commitment to raise God's army and his bride. I'm sorry to say, this is my opinion. Not necessarily the opinion of the Lord, but my opinion. Many apostles and prophets don't talk this. And I'm concerned because, you see, You know the strength of apostolic prophetic ministry if it is narrowed to this vision. The vision to raise Jesus an army. And the vision to raise Jesus a bride. Amen. If that is not your passion in the prophetic, that prophetic ministry is not yet consecrated to Jesus. It's not fully consecrated. It's not full-blown prophetic ministry in terms of purity or focus. It's not easy for prophets to focus on the Lord alone. Particularly in the beginning of the year, there's temptation to prophesy about many things. So everybody has prophecy for 2025. When you open the internet, everybody becomes a prophet January. Hallelujah. So, but you see, there has to be a commitment. We need more ministries of prophets and apostles, not even just prophets and apostles, the fivefold ministries, to be committed to the apostolic vision of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is to raise a formidable army. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. A formidable army and a glorious bride for Jesus. So, like I said, the day of the Lord is a culmination of seasons that climaxes in the physical return of our Lord Jesus. But before Jesus comes, it means that the bride must have been made ready. If the bride would have been made ready, Pastor CJ, it means that the army must have been on ground. Can we see Joel chapter 2? Let me just begin here. Then I'll move into the call button. Are we all here? Are you sure you're excited? Blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm on my holy mountain. So this is the only place they can sound and blow the trumpet. It has to be on Zion. So this trumpet is the everlasting trumpet. It is what we see in Revelation chapter 14, verse 6. It is the proclamation of the trumpets of God. This is the trumpet of the everlasting God. What did I say it is? It's everlasting. It's the everlasting gospel that you can proclaim on Zion. So that trumpet is also a feast, like you can see. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. So you may not be able to hear this trumpet if you are not in Zion. So it is in Zion that there is a calling. If you have not be consecrated by the teaching of Christ. You see, it's the teaching of Christ that circumcised the ears. You will not be able to hear the call of this trumpet on Zion. You must have learned Christ, and the heart must have been circumcised. They must cut off the foreskin of the soul. You know, circumcision is the cutting off of foreskin. So what circumcision is what the doctrine of Christ is. It is to cut off flesh from the soul, so that the soul becomes new. You know, see, so the foreskin is the old man. What did I say the foreskin is? So they have to cut off the foreskin so that you become new. So it takes a new heart to hear the trumpet on Zion. That's how you know. So blow ye the trumpet in Zion. It's a trumpet that is blown to Zion. They blow it to Zion. Those that have become consecrated by the teaching of Christ, they can hear the voice of God. And they're anticipating the day of the Lord. Now, the day of the Lord is going to be sudden on some people. But for those that understand times and seasons, they already know. They are ready for the day of the Lord. They are already in the day of the Lord. Can we all say amen? Amen. I can't hear you say amen. Amen. Glory to God. Take me back to Joel. I'll come back here. So blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh. Look at that. See, all the prophets spoke about the season. The day of the Lord cometh. The day of the Lord cometh. For it is what? Nigh at hand. So the day of the Lord is the unveiling of the kingdom of God. You know, Jesus also preached it. As a prophet, Jesus preached the day of the Lord is at hand. Can we say amen? And the attitude to enter the day of the Lord is repentance. Repent, for the day of the Lord is at hand. Repentance is change, turn. So there has to be, the heart must repent to access the day of the Lord. Glory to God. The day of the Lord is at hand. Can we all say amen? That was the first thing Jesus preached. You can see it was in alignment with prophetic emphasis. It was the bringing forth of the kingdom and dominion of God. So it is the day of the Lord that opens the dominion of God's life to men. Hallelujah. For the day of the Lord is at hand. Now let's just see some of the other verses. Next verse, please. A day of darkness and gloominess. So you can see. I just want you to see the characteristics of that day. The day of darkness and gloominess. A day of clouds and thick darkness. A day of clouds and thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains. So the morning is upon mountains. Now the morning is a revelation of a day upon mountains. What did I say the morning is? It is like the dawning of God's day. The revelation of God's day. As the morning. I like the word morning. As the morning spread upon the mountains. Just showing you how the way morning is. A great people and a strong. I like that. So you can see the word great. Now, oftentimes when great is used in scripture, it's used to qualify the nature of God. What did I say great is used? So, a great people here are people that are being raised by God's, by the revelation of the promises of God's life. We see that in 2 Peter chapter 1. It says, by the exceeding great and what? Precious promises. We can partake of what? Divine nature. So, a great people are those partaking of what? And meaning that they are partaking of exceeding great promises. Can we say amen? Amen? Exceeding great and precious promises. Those are revelation of everlasting arms. Let me say that again. You need to get this. Exceeding great and precious promises. What are they? Revelation of the everlasting arms or the works of God. They are the revelation of the everlasting arms and the works of God. So a great people and a strong. So I like the word. So the morning dawning upon the mountains is the revealing of the people. It's the revealing of the people that the prophet called as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. We're going to use the epistles to interpret this, okay? I'm just showing you the prophetic angle. A great people and a strong. Now, this is the most interesting aspect of this scripture, and I want you to just see it in a moment. It said, there hath not been ever the like. They had not been ever the like. Look at that. They had not been ever the like. Neither shall what? Anymore. After it. Even to what? The years of many generations. So this is a conclusion. It's a concluding army. It is a army that concludes. What they are saying is that once this army emerges, we have not seen the likes and they will not see it again. So it is an army that closes the age. Can we all say amen? Amen. This is what Hagin prophesied in 1988. So at a particular time, I began to study prophets that have vision into this army. Hagin prophesied in encampment in 1988. Joyner wrote about it in the call. So we understand that it is a... Now, this is it. Hagin prophesied in 1988. Joyner wrote it in the call. The call was written around the year 2000. That's about 25 years from now. If you think that it's still in the future, you are... They play. That's the only thing I can tell you. What is 88 till now? 1988 till 2025. You know, one of the things I know that... is the one of the graces of God in my life. I cannot deny that. Is understanding seasons. Accuracy of knowing what God is doing per time. I can tell you, 2025, we are going to begin to see much more the unveiling of this army. Oh, you don't believe what I'm saying? So we are, the army is already in formation. We are in certain stages of the formation of the army. So, but I can tell you, one of the things that heaven is releasing this year, they are bringing fresh installations. Because they have to quickly do a certain work upon the earth. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
So Joel saw that vision of an army that will be armed with everlasting arms. Take me to Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27. With everlasting arms. So it is the army that we trust out death. Amen. You are not listening to me. What did I say we trust out death? It is the army. It is the everlasting arms of God manifested in a people that are great and strong. So they are stronger than death. They are greater than death. They are stronger than the last enemy that is called death. So the wisdom to disarm death will be the life of this people. So when Jesus says, I will build my church. So it means that what Jesus is going to build in the church is what has more strength than death. It has more strength than the forces of hell and death. Hallelujah. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath her, the everlasting arms. Now, he shall thrust out the enemy. Look at that. He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy. Actually, the enemy is a destroyer. Or it's what you call destruction. It's part of the operation of the enemy. Destruction there is perishing. It's to bring things to ruin. So, but the everlasting arms of God will thrust out the enemy. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
So, the revelation of the everlasting arms is what will harm the armies of God.
Amen.
So, I'm showing you that the feast of the Lamb is going to raise his army. What did I say? You know, when you are thinking of armies, you don't see that it's an army of lambs. In your mind, you know, when you think army, you don't think lambs. Don't you think so? You think of tigers. But the army of God is a flock of lambs. You can write that down. It's a flock of lambs. Because nothing can handle death if it's not lambic. Nothing can handle death if it's not lambic in nature. If it's not lambic. So, the strength of God's army is the strength of lambic life. They are lambs. Lambs. It's an army of lambs. It's a flock of lambs. Glory to God. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, look at, let's see 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24. Amen. Let me just build my thought. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay. Then come at the end. Okay, can we go to verse 23? Let's see a comfortable place to start. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. He's talking about resurrection. Then come at the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down, look at that, put down, can we say put down? Now, so the Father or Jesus Christ are not going to come physically and put down. Okay? So putting down here is the strength of everlasting arms evident in the church. What did I say? Evident in the church. It's the force of God's everlasting arms. Or the government of God. Strong in the church. When he shall have put down all rule, not some, all rule and all authority and power. Of course, we know that these are spirits in the air. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
So all spirits in the air are disobediences. They are spirits of disobedience, and they are all powers. They are rule. They are all rule, power, and authority. All rule and all authority and power. Wow, wow. Let me take me back. Take me back. All rule. Authority and power. So all rule there, spiritual wickedness. All rule, or all rule, or rulers of the darkness of this. I'm just trying to look at it in a new light. All rule, all authority, all powers. Put down all rule. Spiritual wickedness, they're also rulers. But they are higher rulers. So these are all spirits that arrange themselves in the air. And they're all disobediences. A spirit is, a spirit is the manifest nature, the manifest life. Evil spirits actually live a real life. So a spirit, spirits in the air, they are called disobedience. And what did I say they are called? Disobedience. They are wired against God's way. So part of the activity of everlasting harms, I want you to listen to this. And many believers don't understand this. Many believers don't even understand that there is an age-long conflict. A lot of Christians, the idea of Christianity is succulent Christianity. Easy life. No stress. You know, it even shows in our song. Some of our songs. Amen. I like some of those songs, but I use it for dancing. Oh, Mama. Always sometimes. You can do no wrong. Oh, 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 me. Leave the 99. Always on my side. So, that's our mentality. Our mentality is always that God is always on my side. So in Final Quest, when Jonah told them that war is coming, if you have read Final Quest, he told them war. He said, no, man. God cannot allow war to happen. Now, as it is now, the church is not prepared for a global disaster. As I'm saying now, if something like, if there's somebody prophesies another thing like COVID-19, we can curse the person. We say, my God shall not agree. Our God, and we call that faith, positivity is not fatal. Pastor Friday, positivity is not fatal. You understand? I remember some months before COVID, in fact, the December before COVID, I remember that meeting. We were prophesying here that something is coming in the next year. We didn't know what it was. If they had told us, we will bind it. Can we say amen? But I can tell you, why COVID-19 did not stop was that it was in the agenda of God for the earth. Believe me, I say this with all clarity. The church is not ready for trying times. Meaning that we don't have the installations to raise an army. Or people that can handle the seasons of the end. And like Jesus said in Matthew 24, the seasons of the end, there are all kinds of things that will be breaking forth from time to time. Can we say amen? Amen. Oh, you are not saying amen with me. Amen. I know you want to marry next year. That's what you are thinking of. So you cannot even reason the way I'm reasoning. People that marry, there's a way they marry in the day of war. Have you ever seen soldiers marry? I don't know what female soldiers wear when they go to wed. I know they are male. Male soldiers don't wear suits. All these suits that you people wear. You'll be wearing one suit that you cannot wear again after wedding. You'll be wearing all kinds of suits. A soldier, when he wants to wear, he wears his uniform. Sir, he can leave that place and go to war. If there is a war. The identity of a soldier is that they can combat at any time. They're always ready. So I'm not saying don't marry. Amen. But marry with warfare mentality. I hear the sound of war. And I'm excited. I like war. Personally, I like war film. Amen. War is good. Battle is good. It always keeps you on your tiptoe. Glory to God. I'm not getting good response from you. Yes. You don't grow in faith if there's no battle. You don't grow in love if there's no battle. If there's no hate, how will you love? If nobody has hated you, how will you learn to love them? If there's no trying in your life, how will you believe God for it? To overcome it. I mean, war is good, man. Oh, hallelujah. Because that's how you learn some things, man. But I can tell you, war is in the hell. Believe me, it's good to believe me. War is in the hell. War is in the hell. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
So, it is the armies of God that will put down all rule. That's what I'm saying. Jesus is not going to come down. Psalm 110 is seated until. You know, I began teaching this 2 years ago. He is seated until. Let's go to Psalm 110. I don't know, I've not entered into the full body, but let's just continue. We have started again. Amen. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit down, look at that, at my right hand until. Can we all say until? So Jesus is seated until I make thy enemies thy footstool. I make thy enemies thy footstool. Meaning they'll be subjected by force. What did I say they will? It is arms that subject them. These guys, they don't want to go. They have to be dislodged and put down. The way I like the way Paul put it, he said, where we shall have put down. What does it mean to put down? It's to oppress. It's to subject. Yeah. It's to dislodge. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
It's to dislodge, suppress, break them. You have to learn to break a spirit. You break a spirit and it cannot raise his head again. An evil spirit that has tormented men. When men are true with it, if the armies of God are true with that spirit, you break that spirit. When you break a spirit, the spirit does not know how to fight again. It's confused. It's weak. So that is what it means to put down. To put down means that you subject them and you subject them by force and you keep them subjected. Oh, you are not saying amen.
Amen.
Now, if you don't have this mind, you don't love God. This is God's mind against his enemies. Put down. So I like the word. So until all the enemies are made. So what will make enemies his footstool are everlasting arms. So everlasting arms are the riches of God's life that will be worked out in a people. Take me back to 1 Corinthians 15. Give me the next verse. For he must reign till he has put on. Look at that. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. I'm just interpreting the message gradually. The focus. For he must reign. Actually, reigning begins from everlasting life. But reigning enters eternal life. Now, the purpose of eternal life is to finally subject the enemies. It's power. You know, everlasting life, what it does is that it makes you immune to them. Everlasting life makes you immune to enemies. Eternal life subjects them forever.
Yes, sir.
So, that's why I say reigning begins from everlasting life. We see that in Romans chapter 5. So there's reigning. That reigning is that you have the wisdom, you are kept, you are armed against the gates of hell. You are armed means that they can't do anything. You are immune to them. You are higher than their wisdom. So you are immune to them. So reigning begins from everlasting life. But God will now give the rod of iron. God will give us a rod of iron. And the rod of iron is a rod in eternal life that will be given as a reward to the armies of God. Oh, you're not saying amen. Amen. The rod of iron is a reward in eternal life that will be given to the armies of God for one purpose, to finally subject spirit. Now, before subjection, they're already reigning, but I like the word subjection is to pull them down perpetually. Now, I can be immune to you, does not mean I've subjected you. I'm immune to you, meaning there's nothing you can do that affects me. But God is not okay with that. Can we say amen? Because it was until the man child was caught up to God and the throne that she got the rod of iron to subject the enemies of God. So everybody say subjection.
Subjection.
Oh, you are not talking to me.
Subjection.
Ah, I say subjection. So that is why reigning. So he will reign until, take me back there. He will reign until he has put, verse 25. He will reign until he has put all enemies under. So enemies are plenty. All. We'll be looking at that. Everybody say all enemies. Say it again, no? It means you must know these enemies. You know, Christians are just, we don't even care. Well, I don't need to know the enemy, I just know my God. Keep quiet! How can you put all enemies on that? See, if you don't know what those enemies are. You know, spiritual warfare is very specific. You must know what you are fighting. You must know what you are fighting, you know what you are dealing with. You know the category of enemies. Warfare is very stratified. When you are fighting, you know what you are fighting. If it's war, if it's army, you are fighting, you know. If it's navy, you know. Because warfare on land is not the same thing as warfare on sea. Warfare on sea is different from warfare on the air. So in spiritual warfare, it is diverse. It is not just anyhow. You must know what you are combating. America and the Vietnam War went to fight Vietnam on their land, and they were underestimated the Vietnamese power in guerrilla warfare. So America never won the war. Forget all the film that they show us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So warfare is very specific. So one of the things that everlasting life will do, listen to me, is going to upgrade the church in understanding of advanced warfare. Yes. As it is now, the church fears battle. But the time will come that the atmosphere of the church will change.
Amen.
By the time they raise the armies of God, you will see, and that's what Joyner described in the call. He said war was in the air, but they were at peace. He said he has never seen that kind of peace before on earth. Men that were a manifestation of peace. I believe that peace is not the peace of Christ. It's everlasting peace, which is salvation. You know, salvation is peace. Oh, I'm not hearing your response. So when you are saved, you are in God's peace. And there's no kind of war that can be brewing that will move you. You'll be like what? You'll be like a rock. Uh-huh. Glory to God. So he must wait until I put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be what? Destroyed. This is where I'm going. So there are enemies and there's the last. What did I say? Come on, let's say that again. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is that. So the everlasting arms. Now, give me these two scriptures because I want you to see. Give me 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26. Slice it with Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27. Let's see both. Okay? I want you to match the two scriptures. And I want you to see it clearly. Are you with me this evening? Are you sure you are with me? Glory to God. Amen. Let's just have two scriptures. Let's match those two scriptures. I want your understanding to be more established in these thoughts. Okay? First Corinthians. Okay, thank you. You can see. You can see that it's the same thing. Huh? So, it's always good for people to see prophetic scripture from apostolic epistles. Huh? So, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is what? You are not responding to me.
Yes.
What is the last enemy?
Yes.
What is the last enemy?
Yes.
What is the last enemy?
Yes.
Now, the eternal God is thy refuge. Underneath are what? And he shall trust out. Did he say the enemies? The enemy from before the hand shall say what? Destroy them. Of course, there are many, but there is a specific one. It's almost as if all the enemies are dealt with to get that last one. You don't understand? The last enemy is the enemy of enemies. Every enemy, listen to this, finds their origin from death. Every enemy finds their origin from death. So, sir, the highest powers of hell is death. So when Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. The gates of hell are gates of death. It's actually hell and death. They actually go together. What's it? What does hell? Hell is the body of death. Hell is what keeps. Another word for hell is grave. Hell keeps what? It keeps death. So death is the spirit of hell. Death is a perverted testimony of hell. So hell is like an hack. Death is like a testimony. Oh, you didn't hear what I said? Death is like the body, like an hack. You see this hack? Then hell, hell is like the body. Then death is the spirit. So they actually go together. Can we say amen? So actually what I believe that everlasting arms, actually what they deal is both what? Hell and death. It is actually one enemy, but it's manifested in two. So you need everlasting arms to handle both what? Can we all say amen? We are already making progress. Hallelujah. Already, I'm already seeing how this thing is going to be going. Can we all thank the Lord for that? So you can see. And he shall say, destroy them. So the everlasting arms is what thrust out death. And it's what destroys death. Take me to Isaiah 25 before I come here. Thank you. You know, when you read scripture, you see the connection is so amazing. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts, look at that, make unto all people a feast of fat things. Remember, I showed you Joel chapter 2. I said, blow the trumpet where? On Zion. So what the trumpet is supplying is what? A feast. Come on. Are you seeing that? Oh, I'm not getting your attention. What is the trumpet? What is it bringing forth? A feast. So the trumpet on Zion is actually a feast of fat things. The trumpet on Zion is a feast of fat, not food. It's doctrine, Pastor CG. It is doctrine, it's understanding that must be brought to Zion on how to overcome hell and death. Actually, Zion has overcome flesh. Sin and death. Which is, we can call it the old man. Flesh. Zion has overcome flesh to a measure. They have overcome the world to a measure. So, but they now need a feast that will make them overcome hell and death. Can we say amen?
Amen.
I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
You cannot even be on Zion if you have not dealt with what? Sin and death or flesh. Or the old man. So this food on the mountain of Zion, it is a specific understanding to deal with death. Can we all say amen? What did I say it is? To deal with that. Sir, it's just like when you go to school. You know, you do courses. They are not a hazard course. You know, courses are specific. Maybe you want to do, I don't know, some of you that do masters. Your courses are very, they are very precise. It is supposed to communicate an exact knowledge. It's not just anything. So, what they communicate on Zion is an exact understanding that deals with what? Death. So, you will know how not to die. Oh, you're not getting this. I said you know not how to die. Meaning that corruption is a problem for man. Satan introduced corruption as our nature. So even if you have learned Christ and you have undue flesh, you are still you don't have the power to roll away corruption or not how to perish. You know, like I told you, Adam was sinless, but he was not incorruptible. You need this feast to know not how to die. So Adam was sinless, but he could still perish. So because he didn't have this understanding, it is this understanding. So what does the dragon have as an advantage over Adam? Come on. Are you with me? Are you sure you are with me? The dragon must have had an advantage. Obviously, Satan could still tempt this man. And what he tempted him with was something that Adam did not see the hand. Sir, if Adam saw the hand, he wouldn't do it. Satan showed him one side. Sir, it's not like that, Joe. When you take this thing, you'll be like God. Satan did not tell him. Come on. That's how evil spirits do. You know, when you go and collect something from Babalawo, you go and collect a giant from Babalawo, they will tell you that the giant will kill you. They will tell you the problem. I don't know what movie I watched that. Say, Satan, don't collect anything from Satan. What I mean, God, I'm not saying it's not about even going to collect something from satanic shrine. Don't do something. Don't live on the wisdom of the flesh. It's not an advantage. Because the thing, you will still see that it will lead to death. Unknowingly to Adam, that tree that Satan told him to eat of, the root of that tree was death. And though the tree had good. the tree had good. But both the good and evil, what was their source? Death. So Satan's plan was to kill Adam. But he did not show Adam the side that he will perish. Meaning he will be, it's not just only him that will fall. Creation will fall. Do you think Adam will have done that? No. So that thing that made Satan deceive Adam is called death. Death is not when you say death. Don't think of Moku. Death is a wisdom. Death is an understanding. It's a life. It is a judgment that can corrupt anything. Can corrupt anything. That can reduce anything from what is originally supposed to be. So death is a way. What did I say death is? You are not responding to me very well. So Satan is the high priest of death. Death is a way. There is a way that seemeth right. Come on, it seemeth right. But the end is what? There is a way that seemeth right. So death has its own righteousness. So when you say death, there's a way you see death is not something that does not look. Death is beautiful. To the natural. That's why Adam bought into it. Adam is not a fool, sir. Adam walked Jubogwalon. If they combined, it was a living soul. So what Satan sold to Adam was a glory. So death is a glory. It's a kind of a glory. It's kind of a beauty that you will not see if you don't have everlasting wisdom. You will not see it. You will have entered into it before you know. It's like a lady that falls in love with a guy before he discovered that he's a bad boy. He's original bad boy, OBB. But the guy is, the guy is a good, very good guy initially. You know the way in those days, unbelievers, they can come to church and get a sister. It's not too much difficult to know church language. You are lifted. You are lifted. You are blessed. I know somebody that did it. Bad boy. I'm telling you, we enter church. And, so I just saw the letter that the sister wrote to him. I stumbled upon the letter. You know those days, there was no email. It was letter. So I saw the letter, four pages of foolscap. So, the guy acted like a brother. You know, some sisters they don't like brother. Am I talking? Some of you sisters, you like bad boys small. You know what I'm talking about? You don't want a brother to be completely good, Go budget there. You know what I'm talking about? Because all these brothers, they are too good. All these good brothers. You know, Pastor Friday, when he was in my house, I used to wonder, he's a good brother. You'll be singing godly song. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Holy songs also, Pastor Friday sing. Holy songs. But sisters don't like those kind of brother. And Pastor Friday then used to wear sweater with tie and trouser. No, sister, I like bad boys small. You know what I'm talking about? You see, that small bad boy is the deception.
Masquerading himself.
So, because man is not perfect, man has lost. We have something that can pull us. Adam could be enticed. And that was what Satan appealed to. So, death played well and showed Adam what he liked. Adam was not a fool. Adam was not a fool. But he didn't go bondu eshulo. Now, to be armed against death is to be wiser than death. You are not getting me. What did I say? Let's say that one more time. So the Feast of the Lamb is supposed to bring the wisdom of the way of everlasting life as an armament against death. So that is what they serve on the feast that is on Zion. Can we all say amen? So, and in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, a feast of fat things full. So, as you say, you can see, they are now breaking down the details of the feast. A feast of wines, look at it. A feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees. Then a feast of fat things full of marrow. Of wines, what? So you can see, so they are in twins. They are in twos. Fat things, the wines on the lees. Then fat things full of marrow, then wines on the lees well refined. So I believe that these are feasts in everlasting life. Fat things. Every fat thing has its wine. So fat things is bread. The wine is the cup. So we have breads and cups even in everlasting life. It's not just one. For instance, the living God has his own bread and cup. Yes. There is wine in the living God. The why I know is that you will not be sealed without the cup. So if you have the seal of the living God, it means you have come to the cup of the living God. Can we say amen? Amen. Oh, you are not getting me. So I'm telling you that the living God is a full dimension in the Father that has his own understanding. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
That's his own understanding. Then you now move into the true God. So there are tables in everlasting life. There are tables of understanding. Tables that communicate certain understanding. How I know this is that there are classes you go. They don't teach you the same thing. So there's an understanding of the living God. There's also an understanding of the true God. Jeremiah 10 verse 10. I just feel that I should do a lot of background work again, okay? Even if I don't enter, we are not rushing anywhere. The year has just started. Maybe we even have additional meetings this year. Nobody saying amen.
Amen.
Ah, what a pity. You don't know what is against you. Believe me, I told you there is war. If you like, believe me or not. If you come and cry and meet me, I won't answer you. I say, go and listen to what I've been teaching you. Pastor, I didn't know. I said, hey. Who love it, yes? You must have been war, 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 war. There is war, sir. Don't live 2025 like, that's what I've been praying for myself, that this year I'll be more and more deadly in my focus. This is not the year to be playing hacking pranky or playing casual. I've told you, don't be casual. This is not the year you want to go and be rest. Oh, fellow, rest, Sibikon. I pity you, sir. There are different kinds of regiment of spirit arranged in several corners. You know, when it comes to spiritual warfare, there are some spirits, the ones that I hate most are archers. Archers are also snipers. They are very wicked. They are the ones that do. You know, if you look at snipers don't just shoot. They don't shoot. They don't waste bullets. They wait on you. That's a sniper. At times when I sleep too much, I just remember, hey, sniper. I stand and I start praying. Yes, it happens. So when I think about the fact that stray bullets, man, was when you remember, if at times when I sleep too much, they come and slap me inside my dream. Poor! At times when I sleep too much, I have one terrible dream that wakes me up. So when I wake up, I know that no sleepy again. You know, when you have some dream, nobody will tell you that you should pray. You just had a terrible dream and you went back to sleep again. Tieti finish. Maybe you saw yourself that they just finished you inside a dream and it is by luck that you came to life. You know those kind of dream that when you leave it, you know that. Oh, Jasin, you know what I'm talking about? Oh, is it only me that is thinking this way? You don't even say that they pursue you. Then they pursue you. Just a job in a scale. Then they pursue you. And they won't catch you. There was one dream I had one time many years ago. The Lord reminded me of that dream. It was about our son. You know, I think he was still young then. So I think we were coming from, my wife, we were coming from
a church meeting, and we're coming. And after we finished, I think we ministered, and we're now walking. And our son, I think maybe Anu was younger. Olubi was still young then. All of a sudden, Fulani headsmen just invaded. We're invading. So we're trying to arrange ourselves just to, maneuver that place. So as we were now trying to move, I think I spotted some around the corner. So we're trying to hasten our pace to move beyond them just to go. So unfortunately, I was protecting. Mommy and Olubi were in front of me. I was at their back. So at least I would see them. There's one of the Fulani headsmen that was now running after my son. He was about eating him. I jumped from where I was to take the bullet. He wanted to use shovel to harm him. You know, I screamed out of my dream. That's how real it was. I screamed out of my dream. Nobody told me to pray. It was as if the guy hit me. You know what I'm saying? It was as if I took the heat. So I came out of the heat physically. Sir, who no go pray? So if you don't pray this year, trouble will make you pray. You will need some trouble. Even as your pastor, I allow it. Let them trouble you small. Just small trouble. So that you will, you know, when they put fire on your bumbo, you will. I don't know, some of you don't like what I'm teaching you. But that's how, you know, have you ever prayed some prayer that you broke into something in the spirit? You break into a wisdom. There are times I prayed, I broke into an understanding. I broke into a judgment. I break into a wisdom. I break into a sense. Sometimes I'll break into a victory. I will know I'm victorious. You just break into a, you just come into a peace in the spirit, in prayer. So some of us, they have to arrange circumstances for you that will make you break into certain dimensions of grace in the spirit. This, what I just said now, is a line. Because I know many of us are not skilled. We don't have ways. There are certain things that we have not laid hold upon yet. Yeah? But the Lord loves us. So the Lord will permit some things to happen to some of us. They will not take your life. Don't be afraid. Nobody's life is going. I said nobody's life is going. But they will move you from your comfort zone. They will move you from your comfort zone. You will have to trust God more. Some of you have not paid the price to even hear God. You have not paid the price to know how to hear God. It's because you have not paid the price. You're always looking for easy way out. Sir, Pastor C is not your hearing. It's not a hearing mechanism. A pastor is not supposed to. That's another thing we need to be careful in this order. You know, because there's a way somebody wants you to hear for him. We are supposed to check what you heard. That's what we do. So anytime you come and meet me and you ask me, what has God tell? That's what I tell you. Because God must have told you something. Now, we want to now check if it's true or not. That's our job. It's not to hear God for you. That's not New Testament. New Testament, we are all prophetic. We can pick the voice of God. We can pick the will of God. Then, because you are still growing, you may still make mistakes in the corridors of hearing God. So the purpose of leadership is to fine-tune you. It's not to hear God for you. I don't hear God for people. In the sense of, so Pastor, what's the will of God for my life? That is why we are teaching you. So that you can discern the will of God. Oh, I can't hear your amen. Amen. But some people are so lazy, they don't want to exercise their muscle in the spirit to know what God is saying. What's the season of God in your business? What is God saying to you in that business right now? What price do you need to pay to move into the next season of God's grace in that business? What courses should you be doing? What skills should you be learning? Nobody will tell you that one.
You have to stir up yourself to pick that in the spirit and walk in it. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'm not your personal Holy Ghost. I just sense that many of us have not exercised ourselves in holding certain dimensions. I said this year you will hold things.
Amen.
I said this year you will come into experience.
Amen.
Many of us don't have experiences. Experiences comes from battles. You do battle. Then you come into experience. You lay hold on things. Battles are good. They train you. There are things that train you, so you'll be able to lay hold on things. You know, when you have let me tell you this. When you have used faith in your life, you don't fear lack. No matter how lack comes, you know how to believe God. It means you have learned that lesson. So now when you think of, now listen, amen. Are you following me? When you think of something and you're afraid, hey! You know, everybody does not know you want to call him. You what? You're alone. When you think of something, you're afraid. You see, that fear is coming out of something that you lack. It is coming out of a deficit. Satan knows it very well. Satan can smell fear. We can't deceive Satan with fear. Now, you can't deceive Satan. I don't care. I don't care if I don't have a job. I don't care. If I don't have money, I don't care. Satan will just love. I don't care if there's no brother. I don't care. I love Jesus. He said, okay, you don't care, me. Hello. Oh, you love Jesus. I know you love Jesus. He will come another time. He can smell fear. Spirits know when you know and when you don't know. You cannot do both ways. They know your deficit. That's why you will keep fighting a spirit until you overcome that spirit. Oh, I don't know. No. Please, I'm not getting. What did I say? Now, if you are very discerning, you will know a class you have been repeating for 5 years. You will know, except you are not wise. You know you have been circling a place. Have you ever occurred to you that you are so, I've been here before? It means that is where you are. You have not overcome the spirit that mans that territory. So the spirit can be playing games with you for years and be bringing the trick out in many ways. You see the same spirit? Bringing it out. It can just be refreshing the course. Evil spirits are very terrible. They are very terrible. They can waste your time. They waste your time until they break you. So there are many believers that have been broken. If you see a believer that has been depressed, evil spirit built a prison. Give him key. You will lock yours. No, they don't lock you. Listen. Lock yourself. Then you will take the key and lock yourself. Some people have locked themselves in unforgiveness. The evil spirit was the one that arranged the circumstances to make people hurt them. The evil spirit was the one that lectured them on how to perceive it. Come on, follow me. Then the evil spirits now tell them what to do. So you see, Voshimashelele. Go cut one off. And on your jati. Go cut one off. Show you one. Korama bala ifelo. So it has built a prison. Now give you key. You close yourself. So some people are not joining anymore. They are sitting in a dark place. Isaiah 42. Is it 42 or 41? Okay, let's have that. I think the Holy Ghost is just speaking to us tonight. Let's quickly
Jesus,
have that.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. For I bring you wisdom. Even I bring you wisdom on how to break that tie. Amen. Even on how to break even that tie that even the wicked one, the enemy, has used that giving to you to tie yourself over the years. For every time you refuse to heed to wisdom, you tie yourself even
yes.
further.
Yes.
You tie yourself even further. It becomes stronger. It becomes even a more stronger hold. But I bring wisdom because you've come into a year of major victory. This is a year of major victory even from those strongholds. Oh, it's a year of major victory. You will know that yoke has been broken. You will know that you have been liberated. You have been liberated. For what I do is that I teach men how to be free. Oh, I teach people how to be free. For even my wisdom is to teach you on how to be made free. Oh, it's how you will be made free. How you will be made free. There's no shortcut around it. You would have to walk out of it by obedience. You will walk out of it by obedience. For even you know, there's a particular instruction you've been defiling for years, and that's why you've been running around even that particular spot. But yet again, that instruction is coming. Even it's coming. You know it. For my spirit will even impress it in your heart again. It will impress it in your heart again.
Amen.
I say follow it, for that is the way. That is the path to victory. That is the path to victory. Even as you obey, you will gain more strength. Even as
Amen.
You obey, you will gain more strength to walk out.
Amen.
And as you walk out, you come into more life. You come into more life, and you come into victory over that spirit. For that's how you wear spirit away. You cannot bind even that spirit. You have to wear it away
Amen.
Through obedience. You will wear it away through obedience.
Hallelujah.
And as you wear it away, you will come even to overcoming over that spirit, said the Lord.
Can we all say amen?
Amen.
So you can see, I'm showing you how evil spirit works. So light is a tool of deliverance. What did I say light is? So you can see, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison. Prison in the spirit is not prison like physical prison. It is a walk. What did I call a prison? Or a program? Is a walk. So it's not like you are locked in a physical prison. No. They wind a program around your soul. Have you ever seen some people, there's a way they view anything?
Yes.
There's a way they... for instance, I ain't shame is a program. Come on. What did I say? Oh, you are not answering me, sir. It's a program. And they take time to work that program inside your soul. So there's a way you see it. Anytime you have a challenge, Ikotoshi and Tita Delele. Maybe that's your elder sister. Ikotoshi, Ikotoshi, sister Bolaji. So there is still the same evil spirit. Now, they are the ones at work in your natural family. But because maybe many of your siblings don't have light. So of course, if anybody does not have understanding, they are already prisoners. They are captives to evil spirits. So, but you are making a journey in the spirit, but they are fighting you. Yeah? So, when they bring certain things in your life, like assaults, they are trying to make you buy into their... they want you to buy into an understanding. Now, an evil spirit can attack me, but I'm not buying into his understanding.
Yes, sir.
For instance, amen.
Amen.
Oh, are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Huh? Paul entered prison many times. But Paul did not see that he ain't shame me. Come on. Amen. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Paul entered prison. Ephesians 3. He said, I'm a prisoner of the Lord.
Yeah.
Huh? But he was inside a prison. We're told that when he was writing the scripture that many of the epistles that he was inside prison. So I can be inside prison, but I'm not in Satan's prison. I know that I'm in God's prison. It's understanding. Eh? So
My understanding is my freedom. I'm interpreting spiritual warfare. What did I say my understanding is?
My freedom.
That's your freedom. How you, judgment, how you view things. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
So I perceive in this, in, the Lord is going to make many, God is going to train many of you for battle.
Amen.
So you will use your hand to fight.
Amen.
You will have to use, you have to be skilled in battle. So I, like I said, you will, so at times you will know when you are still warring a spirit. When you war with a spirit and you have not overcome it, you keep, you can be falling into the traps of the spirit. But when there is light, you will know. You will know when you have made a mistake. You quickly address yourself. But you know that we are still in the season of warring that spirit. Maybe, for instance, you're always giving to slander. Naturally. You will have slandered before you remember. So you now ask God for forgiveness. But you see, that temptation of slander will still come. Because you have not overcome the spirit. It will come again. So when it comes again, you may not have recognized. Do you keep entering things that you have entered before you now know? It means that you are still warring a spirit. Some don't even know that they are in it because there is no light. What light does is to make you understand the terrain and know what is happening to you. Am I getting response? Or some people that enter into depression, there are steps to depression. Maybe you normally fall into depression. There are steps into that depression. There's a way they can start by attacking your day in the morning. They arrange circumstances. I want you to have understanding. Your day or your life is not ordinary. There's nothing that happens. Everything is being is a tool of how will I put it? God help me. God give me the right words. All things that are walking around you, God is walking. Evil spirits are also walking. But God wants you to have charge. What does it mean to have charge? To have sight. To have sight is that you have understanding. Maybe, you know, you are heading a project and every time when you want to enter into a major breakthrough, something happens. Maybe something happens is that they just organize something or something that just make the thing not work. When you look at that thing well, you will find out that there is a system or a pattern to it. That's what I want to say. There's a pattern to it. What understanding does is to empower you with judgment. That's number one. Number two, you will walk against the pattern. You start breaking patterns. Something that happened in family. In the family, there are patterns. My wife was telling me one. She could, I'm sure it was judgment. He said, well, you know, when you say some ladies don't stay in the home of their husband. It is not spirit. They walk by nature. What they do is that they will program a nature in you. And then now program circumstances that will now make that nature they put in you to come out. Oh, you didn't get what I said? So you will just find out that you cannot keep covenant with a woman. A woman cannot submit to a man. In fact, they can create circumstances that can empower the woman economically. Because that is what makes that thing come out. Maybe if the woman does not have money to not show. But they can, evil spirit can create opportunity. They arrange circumstances, I can tell you. An evil spirit can open a door. A door of opportunity to scatter a marriage. Why am I teaching like this today? So, because it is when opportunity comes that the nature comes out. Yes,
So when you are wiser than evil spirits, you can read patterns. You can understand. You will see patterns. And you will now begin to walk against patterns. Eh? You walk against it. That's what training of the spirit does. So when they are harming you spiritually, Pastor Friday, they are rewriting laws inside your soul. They are changing programs in your soul. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
May the Lord grant you understanding.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Have you ever thought that spirit that warred Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 is an evil spirit that fights people that have everlasting revelation? Now, you don't thwart that spirit if you don't come to a season of abundant revelation. So it means that, amen, but God actually, if you understand this scripture very well, God showed Paul mercy. Because this evil spirit has almost already succeeded. Amen. I don't know. I'm not getting some people's response. They are almost succeeded. Let me read this area for you. I want to explain this thing. I'm asking God for, are you getting understanding?
Yes.
I want to explain spiritual warfare. I want you to understand it. I'm not talking about demonic warfare. This is spirit. This is a level of spirit. This is spirit war. They're war with wisdom, intelligence. Yeah. Now, start from verse 6. For though I would desire to glory, I should not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. At least I should be exalted, look at that. Unless I should be exalted, what? Above measure. So there's something called above measure. So I now understand that our walk with God is a walk of measures. And we have measures for different seasons. Okay? So an evil spirit knows. Now, why is an evil spirit planning to lift you above measure? Now, this is it. An evil spirit's plan is for you to break the hedge. Have you ever read the scripture that he that breaketh the hedge, the serpent will bite? As long as you keep your life is kept within measure, there's nothing they can do. What they want you to do is for God to resist you. Now, to be above measure is to be proud. So there's a measure. When you go above it, you are already proud. And the Bible says God. So evil spirit, there's no scripture. It said God resisted the proud. So how can we get Paul? This guy has dealt with us. This guy has spoiled our. How do we get Paul? Let God resist him. For God resisted the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Now, sir, if God is resisting you, Satan will captivate you.
Yeah.
Once you are resisted by God, Satan just comes and imprison you. So, sir, they have been looking for Paul. And they have not got him. They have tried everything. So, the only thing is to, can you pause alone? Is to turn Paul against God. The very God that is the source of his strength. Let us disconnect them. So you can know that spirit is not that spirit. That spirit has PhD. He's a PhD spirit. Daddy called it an apostle of Satan. So that spirit is apostolic. It's an apostolic spirit. It's not ordinary. It's an apostolic spirit. It has wisdom. At least I should be above. They was giving me a thorn in the flesh. The messenger of Satan to buffet me. Least I should be exalted above measure. Verse 8. For this thing, I besought the Lord thrice, that it might what? So I just wonder, okay. What Paul wanted the thing to depart from him. He did not understand the nature. Maybe, what is this? And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is what? This is God talking to Paul now. Abi?
Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my what? Now, who glories in infirmity? So it means that the way to dismember this spirit is to just stay in a state of weakness and remain there. I'm sure this is not natural to Paul. Yes. Now, does Paul look like a weak person? And so, I now understand when Paul now, it means that it was training that made Paul weak. Oh, you know all those things that Corinthian church were just talking at him. They said that his body's presence is contemptible. Contemptible, like, what do they call it? That his letters is just waiting. So it was, that programming was to protect Paul. If Paul had resisted that training, if Paul was tough, if Paul was jagu-jagu, Baba Corinthi, jagu-jagu of Corinth. When Paul was the Corinthian church are afraid of Paul. When they hear that Paul is coming, everybody's running, scatter. Paul is coming. If Paul had that, Satan would have dominated those churches. So the wisdom is to counteract. I believe that this thing was not Paul's natural strength. Look at it now. Somebody that was a Pharisee of Pharisees, do you think he would have been a weak person? I want you to follow me. Oh. So sometimes evil spirits, they use your strength against you. Somebody that was a Pharisee or Pharisee, listen to me. A Pharisee that can kill people. Sir, somebody that can kill people don't send you. It means that it's tough. It takes mind to kill people. So Paul lock on. Paul was a man that has strength. If you want to kill you, we kill you. As long as there's a purpose attached. Paul did not care, was killing Christians. He killed them. So he's not a weak person. But evil spirits saw his strength and they wrote a program to defeat him. I now understand what it means for no weapon fashioned against me. No. Now, how do they fashion weapon? I don't think I'm getting your attention. So we will study Friday. Sir, a woman can be your weapon. That's it. Some ministers that fail, they just look for a woman. They fashion the kind of woman. Sir, when you see that kind of woman, sir, don't pray in tongues. Run, no. They can fashion a man. A woman, you love your husband, nothing. You are submissive to your husband, but there is a man in your office. I heard the pastor's wife, she made a confession that there was a man in her office that she almost had sex with. I started it online. I saw it online. You see, anytime she's before that man, all her defenses. Sir, that one is not ordinary. That is a weapon. A weapon is something that when it's at work, you are disarmed. So when Isaiah said, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, it means God will arm you against a weapon. Yeah. Are you getting the sense? Yeah. When I say they harm you, you are wiser than it. Yeah. You are wiser than that weapon. As something that always brings you down comes your way, the thing that shamed you over and over again, then God has raised you against it. And when it's coming, you are just smiling. Because normally, if you even know when it is coming, you can sense it. It may be a sickness. It may be a sickness, and they come in certain season. Attack on my affair, you go sick. But by the time you are feeling that wind, you're already afraid. You know the consequences. But when God has armed you with faith, when the thing is coming, you say, ah, a cabo. It means that you're already smiling. It means that the wisdom to overcome it has been installed. You now see how we are going to disarm death. It's the same way. Okay, let's have that.
Thank you. Prega dana profana gana tesi gana garaga dana tesi kina bonsia. Egrega dela katana grega dela gadana tesia. Oh, for even this is not a fluke. Even this is not a fluke. For this is real. Even this is real. For I've put my spirit, even my spirit upon my servant, even for to show you, even for to show you, even the dynamics of spiritual warfare, even the dynamics of spiritual warfare, that you will no longer be ignorant, that you will no longer be ignorant. This is how, even this is how you come out. This is how you come out. This is how you make warfare, and this is how you gain victory. Even this is how you gain victory, for there is a wisdom. Even there is a wisdom. Even there is a wisdom required. Even an understanding required for you to come out. Even for you to gain victory. Even over that weapon formed and fashioned against you. Oh, I just showed you how. I just showed you how. I just showed you even the wisdom. I just showed you the wisdom. Even the wisdom. The wisdom isn't coming under. Even the wisdom isn't coming under. Even the wisdom isn't coming under. Even the wisdom isn't coming low. Even the wisdom is becoming meek by day. Even becoming meek. Even becoming meek and becoming lambic. For there is no weapon fashioned against a lamb that will prosper. Even become lambic. Even become lambic. Even become a child. Even become a child. Even become a child. And you see those weapons fashioned against you will fly over your head, because you've become low. You've become low for them to see. You've become low for them to target. You've become low for them to arch on. Oh, with your strength, you will not be able. You will not be able to win this battle. You will not be able to win this battle. Will you take the position of weakness? Will you take the position of weakness and see and see and see and see how the tides will turn, and see how the tides will turn in your favor? It will turn in your favor. It will turn in your favor. It will turn in your favor. For you have talked, you have spoken too much. It's time for you to be quiet. Amen. It's time for you to just be looking. Just look like one who is a fool. Just look like one who is a fool. Just be quiet. Just be quiet. Just be quiet and be dumb. And be dumb. And be dumb. And you will see. And you will see how much even that silence will bring victory. Even that silence will bring victory. Oh, it's my wisdom. I want you to be led. In this season, I want you to be led. I want you to be led. I want you to be sharp in the spirit. Yeah, I want you to be sharp in the spirit. For I will teach you what to do part time. I will show you what to do part time. See the Lord.
So what the enemy planned for your destruction, God will use it for your salvation.
Amen.
Now, I want you to understand the scenario here. See, this is it. When this messenger of Satan was sent to Paul, it was the intention that Satan and the messenger had was to make Paul be exalted. That was the intention. The intention was that to make Paul exalted. And once you're exalted above measure, you leave grace. You break away from the boundary of grace. It means you're in soup. And that was Satan's plan. But this is how salvation works. God saw Paul and saw that if he allows the messenger of Satan to attack Paul, Paul will react this way. Paul, God saw a reaction that can save Paul.
Now, let me explain that. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Go back to verse 8. Now, when God allows an attack in your life, it's because he's seeing the way out. Remember, this same attack that is supposed to destroy Paul was now saving Paul. Meanwhile, Paul was praying that he should go. I don't want this. I don't want this. But meanwhile, God allowed it. So, it was God showing Paul mercy. That's why it's very difficult to compare yourself with any other person. Because some fashion that is fashioned against you is allowed, if it's allowed by God, God has seen how that thing will lead to your salvation. So God will allow it. Yes, God will allow it. So never compare your cross with your brother's cross. Our souls are fashioned differently. Oh, I'm not getting your response. The kind of spouse you marry is designed for the salvation of your soul. You know, at times you marry a spouse that the beginning of your marriage will be tough. You can almost think of breaking up. It is designed to save your soul. If you had married a spouse that is nice, you will not grow. Oh, you didn't get what I'm saying. If you have married some very nice, you know, maybe you're going to marry a gentleman that loves you so much and does everything for you. Sir, you will not even near, you may not go to church. Now, it takes, if it even takes mercy for you to even realize this, you may not even go to church at all. Imagine, you have all the money, all the cars, all the fine house, all the badass lover man that will always make you feel good. You make me feel like a wonderful woman. You don't know this thing. You make me feel like a wonderful woman. A beautiful woman. Sir, if you have that kind of husband, you may be the one that's a guy on Pastor Olori Buruku. Oh, washe, sir. So I now understand that there are things that God permits because God is seeing what? Salvation. Now, this is the very good thing. If you are not okay, beseech the Lord like Paul did. It's good to do so, so that you know the difference between things permitted and things not permitted. So you have to pray. That's why I said that, number one, if you don't even know how to hear God, you are even defeated in warfare. Oh, man, what you saying? Oh, man, A from B. You are already defeated in warfare. So when Paul saw that thing, God had seen it ahead. And God allowed it. Because God wanted to save Paul. God wanted Paul to come into power. And you don't enter power except by torment. Torment is what pushes you into power. Now look at verse 7. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
I'm not feeling your response.
Yes, sir.
Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation. So, Paul, you know, the very thing God gives you, it's like Satan is waiting for your time of blessing to now come. Your promotion. That's why your time of promotion is your most susceptible time. You are most vulnerable. Immediately Elijah defeated 400 prophets of Baal. You don't know what it means to defeat 400. You know, if you look at that scene, Elijah just, oh, deep, 400 prophets of Baal. When those guys were doing another thing, he was even mocking them. Elijah was cashing crews. Elijah was catching crews, man. And after those guys wasted their time from morning to evening, Elijah just went to show them, set the altar, called his God, fire descended. Wahoo! Elijah won. Very sweet victory. Immediately after that, Jezebel came. Jezebel spoke a word, Elijah, Bija. So it means that at that season of victory was his most vulnerable time.
Elijah got to the point that he was already condemning himself. Well, I'm not, I want to die. I am the only one. God said, I have 7,000. That's the first time Elijah will hear that information. I have 7,000 guys. So Elijah, you're not the only one. It's my mercy that chose you. So Paul prayed 3 times. Paul is not like us. I just say shabla baba shabla ba shabla shabla be baba be 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 shabla be 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 oh ble be ble ble. No, if Paul prayed 3 times, Paul prayed 3 times. It means Paul heard 3 times. You know, I'm not talking about mono prayer. Shabla ba shabla shabla. I bless the Lord. Jehovah Jireh. Hallelujah. And you go. No. Paul does not pray like that. If Paul pray, there is response. Prayer is a dialogue. So it means he prayed thrice. And he heard thrice. And he heard the same thing thrice. I don't know if I'm teaching anything. For this thing, I sought the Lord thrice. Me, Paul prayed the first time. He heard. He didn't settle well. He mounted the mountain again. Prayed again. He heard the same thing. Okay, then pray, learn, cause. You know, Paul was a priest. You know the way Babalawo does things. When they are checking something, Toman Difa. Is it Okpele they call it? And they do the thing, and they throw it. Ah! ATD? I just go. They do their incantation. You know, I'm not so vast in Yoruba, but there's only about 3 in Yoruba too. So when the last time Paul now the same thing. The Babala would tell him, "Oh, mommy, go Sarah." This is the same solution. Yeah. When the Babala tell him, "Oh, mommy, go Sarah." Ah, Baba, what God you see? Oh, I love mommy, go Sarah. Oh, Basarani. Ah! Hello, you're Basara Baba. Ah, oh, mommy, oh, Basara. So Paul prayed 3 times, and God says, let this thing go. God said, no. My grace is sufficient. Meaning, Basara. In Kanyoda Fue. Meaning, this thing is meant to keep and protect you. Make you humble. So I now understand that God will leave something in your life that has keleg. Yeah. Everything must not be going smoothly all the time. There will have to be something that is. You know, it is like you just see fine boy. Maybe somebody like Ralph. You know, Ralph is very fine. And then he has Ralph keleg. So maybe you don't see his keleg first. You just see his face and you see his physique. Ah! Fine, but where did that walk? I should have bought a some things are good, sir. You need some keleg in your life. I don't know. God just fashioned this message for some people. Because I didn't plan to teach like this. You need some K-leg. Oh, I had some K-leg in my life. God allowed some things. Looking back, I thank him. If those things were not in my life, I would not be here. Oh! My. There was a time God warned me. Now, there's no way you can insult me today that will really, you just insult me. Some people feel that I'm a loser. I just laugh. Like they say, this guy does not have. He's a failure, so he entered into ministry. I just laugh. I say, Kai, God, I thank you. I wasn't like that before. I was not this foolish before. I was a bright child, very smart. But God crumbled me. I'll do my best, I will fail. So you understand those kind of things? I'll do my best, I will fail. So God allowed me to come to the end of myself. At a particular point, there's a course I wanted to do. I wanted to do it. But there was no way God would have told me not to do it and I would listen. I believe that God wanted me for himself from the onset. It was later that my mom told me that when she gave birth to me, there was a word God gave her. But I had to fail jam 4 times. After I failed jam 4 times, I went to do prelim. And I wanted to do medicine. Then God told me, he said, leave this course for me. I have a plan for you. I know that I could not struggle with God anymore. Because God had brought me, God had reduced me. All my genius already at my, you don't know what it means. People that look up to you, they're not looking at you that Iboloa. God allowed that. And I know God allowed that. The thing removed something inside of my soul. Sir, you can't mock me again. I am immune to mockery. You cannot mock me. There's no way you can mock me. It doesn't make sense to me. I am immune to mocking. Yeah, but I am immune. I'm not ashamed of anything. Ashamed? And I know that it was a walk. Have you ever seen your mates before and you're running away? They have not done a walk inside you. Maybe you don't understand what I'm talking about. You are doing life of the brethren. And you are in brethren house, they are sending you to market. Life with Tito. You know what I'm talking about? And then you see some of your guys struggling in class, just entered into market and park car. As you see the person, you saw yourself the way you were dressing like a house girl. Oh, Beja! You know what I'm talking about? Am I lying? They no go see me. Or by mistake, they now catch you. Red corner. And then you. So you Friday, how are you? Good to see you. Is that time? So where are you now? Where are you, sir? You are in pastor's house, sir. No, I now know the reason why God take me through some training. God wanted to make me a kind of weapon. That opinion of men does not count for me. If I get stronger when I have more opposition. So opposition brings the best out of me. When I have opposition, I'm very focused. So that's why I know. At times when I don't have opposition, I'm wondering that. Because trouble is good. I'm always very focused. I'm very, very focused when there's trouble. So I now understand how God works. So whatever God permits is meant to be a wisdom of escape. So nobody should look himself as and be pitying yourself. You know, even me, I'm studying, I'm checking some things, you know. I just check some of you. You try things, it doesn't work. And you try things, it doesn't work, and then you are just at peace. And while you are not even thinking nothing will work, something will now work. God is teaching you something. You know, I learned something. I didn't know. You know, Bemi got one very good job. And at the time I look at Gbemi, I was even worried for Gbemi. Because I was just worried, what is. So I called Gbemi at the time. Gbemi, so how far? My wife is laughing. I said, how far now? I said, this and that. I said, eh. So I'll just look at this. At the particular, I was angry with him. I was wondering. So how far now? The guy just, he has one leg chop that used to. He said, no, there's nothing that here. We are just there. So even the guy was at rest. Me, I was angry. So when he now got that job, God had told me that the only way he could get that job was the way he is. That's what God told me. Say that way he was living like he did not care. You know, some of you will worry and worry and worry and worry and worry and worry. You will try and try and try. The more you try, the thing will be escaping. You know, there are some things like that. There are some doors like that. So when you try, you package yourself. You want to enter the thing. You try, you package yourself. You set the gate, the thing. But at times, when you just get the wisdom. Now, this thing must be a revelation. They must minister to it. You just get the wisdom, you just go and sleep. There are some revelations I break into. And I understand that if you don't understand ways, you can't work with God. Some revelation, before I touch them, I don't touch them with more praying into it. I don't touch them by praying into it. Not like I don't pray. I pray. But there are times that when a season of a door wants to open, there's an attitude. The attitudes are different. I don't understand how can I explain this one. There's some kind of door when they want to open in the spirit. I get weak. I get weak to the point that it makes me sleepy. Initially, I used to wonder that what's wrong with me. Is there Shumalele, sir? It took me time to master that operation. It was a weight. Once the weight comes, I will be very weak. It normally happens on Thursdays. I'll be feeling sleepy. Sleepy. It's a sleeping anointing. And I don't understand what the Bible said, that they made Adam sleep a deep sleep. And they brought Eve out. So at times when I just want to obey, I will try everything. Sometimes I will eat chewing gum, drink coffee to want to stay alive. And the thing will not go. So at times I will just go and lie down. I will not sleep deeply. Once I lie down on the bed and relax, the heaven will just open. I don't understand. Once I just lie down on the bed and relax, it was as if I need to enter into one kind of state in the spirit. Once I relax, the thing will just, I'll start seeing the door of understanding. I say, what kind of? So, how do you teach that one? You know, when I look at some apostles, I respect some apostles. I really admire them. I really admire them, but I found out that I said, God will give you understanding. Yeah. When you understand ways, even in business, you understand ways. Yeah. You know, you want to get an opportunity in the spirit. So it's not by writing business plan. Some old people that have ways, they know what to do. They may just go and wait on God. You understand? So that's the way that is playing out in their spirit. Ibokamu, she can say at times, she's a whole day, she shuts down. She just stays in God's presence. That's the chairman of... I think she's chairman of First Bank. That woman has a terrible work with God. So she shuts down a whole day. She does nothing. She says she will stay all day in God's presence. Maybe worshiping and waiting on the Lord. You know, for a business person to shut down is power. Many people don't shut down. As you are inside team, you are calculating. Your only number, sir. When even if you shut down even if you switch off your phone, you are calculating. But she said that she just enters into God's presence and she shuts down. And she does that every day. There's a particular day of the week she does that. That is like a spirit altar. That Holy Ghost has taught her. It's like a way where she accesses revelation and instruction. That we preserve our soul and guide our business. I say, God will teach you ways. That's your amen. It's starting on one leg.
Amen.
I just said that some of us, the evil spirit is working with your strength. They know your strength and they are using your strength to close doors. They're just using your strength to close doors. But I perceive it in my spirit that God will teach you and train your fingers to war.
Amen.
You take your fingers to war. Can we all say amen?
Amen?
Let me go back to Paul. So thrice Paul prayed and God spoke to him. Thrice I sought the Lord. Take me to that point. Amen. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Of course, if you are praying for something to depart from me, because you descend that is evil. So, can you imagine? God is trying to bless you, and you are saying God, you are trying to bind God. It's because you don't know what God is doing. God will give you understanding. So that it might depart from me. Look at verse 9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. So, God is telling Paul, what you need is my strength, but my strength does not come the way you want.
Yeah.
My strength is accessible when you are completely weak. When you shut down. You don't understand? It's when my strength is activated. That does not make sense. When you want to do a major meeting, and you are sleeping. That does not make sense. You want to do a major project and you are at rest. It does not make sense. So, but in the realm of the spirit, that is the way into that door. Most gladly, therefore. Now, this is it. So, the first statement, the most gladly was not what it was not God that told Paul that. That was Paul's conclusion. Are you with me? What God told him is, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. That was the communication God spoke to Paul. My grace is sufficient for thee. This is how my strength is manifested. It is made perfect in weakness. So even when God speaks to you, you have to wait to understand what he has said. So the conclusion must have been as a result of Paul waiting on what God told him. He says, most gladly, therefore, will I what? Rather what? Glory in my infirmities, glory in my weaknesses. So all my weaknesses, I begin to thank God for them. Hold on, I'm not getting it. All my limitations, I begin to thank God for them. All the doors that are closed, I begin to thank God for them. All the delays, I begin to thank God for them. How God did not allow me to do things. How God did not allow me to go fast. For me, I thank God that God delayed me 4 years before entering university. 4 years, almost 5 years. I stayed at home for 4 years. I didn't understand for many years. But now, looking back, I thank God. It was a divine delay. And that 4 years was one of the best in my life. I learned, I don't know how many years of lesson I learned in that 4 years. By the time I was entering university, I was a man of God. I said this on that. Yes, I was a man of MOG. I became an MOG. I served in ministry. By the time I was entering campus, I became a man of God. I was older than my age mates by far. In wisdom. 4 years of training. 4 years of training. So by the time I was entering school, if I remember those days, I tried my best to go to Ife. Oh my God. How I love Great Ife. How I love Great Ife. I really love that university. I love that university. In 98, was it JAMB? Yes, JAMB of 98. I didn't get to the cutoff. But I had faith. I had so much faith. Bright, I had faith. I just read Force of Freedom by Bishop Oyedepo. I remember. I read Force of Freedom. The book was spitting fire. Oh, I will never forget. Every page. He was, you know, Bishop Oyedepo. When Bishop Oyedepo is, Bishop Oyedepo is a prophet of faith. You know what I mean? When you are listening, when you are reading Bishop, I don't know how I can. It's not like you are reading. It's like somebody is speaking to your spirit. Ah, that man is deadly, sir. Abani, yes, sir. When you hear Papa, it's like you are hearing. I don't know. In those days, though, so I read Force of Freedom. Immediately I finished that book, I told my daddy I'm going to get my admission in Ife. I was just 18 years old. Or no, 17 plus. I was not even up to 18. I took my money, I went to Ife from Lagos. And I went to the Department of Medicine. That's where I went first. So, ask me my score. Ask me my score. 198. I went there, I went to check. I said, there's nothing impossible with God. But I believe you know people are doing it. You are not getting me. You don't understand? I went to check. I said, Koshoro follow. So I check list one, list two, list three. I think there are supplementary lists. I check all the lists. I say, okay. I didn't see my name there. After that, I went to my second choice. I think my second choice was it pharmacy or microbiology? I was not sure. I could not say. So, my daddy had friends there. I remember then, I went to the office of Professor Lamikora, Lamike. I don't know if you know Lamike in Ife. Lamike is a principality. I went to meet Lamike. I introduced myself. So, 17 years old. I introduced myself. I said, your father? He said, yes. I said, I want to come and receive my admission. He said, what did you score? I said, ask what I did. He said, I even the VC's child. Can I help? You know, then I went back home that same day. But you see, by the time I entered home, something entered into me. You see, that act, you think it was foolishness. It was not foolishness. It was a terrible, it's like, something entered into me that day. It's like a memorial. It was as if I was stupid. So, that same year, the ending of that year, I hope I'm not boring you with my story. I will not forget, 24th of December, 1998, I had a visitation, I had like a prophetic revelation. I saw myself in the gate of Ladoke Akintola University. I saw myself in the front of the gate. I saw, the gate I saw was the gate I saw the day I went there. I saw myself entering into the gate. Meanwhile, they have told me before that I should go to the school. I didn't like the school because in my time, it used to be the last school in the JAMB brochure, which Adekunle Ajashin University. So I didn't like that school. Ladoke Ajashin, you know, all those kind of names. So I've been told. But I now saw. So I woke up in the morning. I won't forget. And I say, that's where God wants me to go. And I went to tell my dad. I said, and I know somebody. That was how I started processing admission there. Of course, there's still more story. So, but I look at how God delayed me for 4 years. Now, entering into Ogbomosho was going to mark a destiny encounter. It's a major, if I've gone to Ife, I doubt if I'd been able to enroute this part. Will I be hard? So what God was preparing for me was a destiny plan, a destiny plan. This message I am preaching today, that's when I started exploring it. Then I started meeting people. I met my wife. So if I had gone to Ife, I won't meet mommy. You don't understand. You don't understand. You don't understand. Well, I'm going to pray one prayer for you. That they say that God will be stronger than you. Yeah. Concerning you coming into God's plan and purposes. I said, God will be stronger than you. Yeah. I said, God will prevail over you. Oh, you didn't understand. All those things did not make sense. So I was not stupid. I was one of the best in my set. I was not a stupid guy. But when God liberated me, I now accepted that. I accepted that dealing. It became, so then I used to wear shame and use it to post. You don't understand what it means for you to be intelligent and you don't enter school at the right time. It was a thing of mockery. I've been mocked many times. And the mockery was tied to my faith. That it was because my Bible so written on me if it was school. So a time came where that cloth of shame, it became a designer customized clothes. In fact, I'll go and greet my friend in Ife. I'll go and greet them. I was in P-degree. I remember some of my friends were in part 4 when I was in P-degree. I didn't even enter Ogbomosho again in another level. By the time we were processing there, they said I had a deficiency, so I had to go and do pre-dream. They demoted me again. So I remember I'll go to Ife, all my friends, God helped me so much, I never felt inferior. I didn't know that it was power resting on me. I'll go there, do meetings, see them. Some of them were in part 4, some of them were in part 5. I will not feel anything. I was not in school, I was in P degree. Then they'll be shouting, if you're in P degree, you're not a student. I lived like a normal student in school. Nobody knew. My wife met me as a pre-degree student. She did not know that I was a pre-degree student. The way I walked, the way I carried myself. So I now knew that God was training me to live from inside. Pastor, God was training me to live from inside. Doesn't matter what is happening on your outside. It is what I'm doing on the inside that matters most. I became rich on my inside. Sir, you cannot intimidate me with money. Or what you have. I learned how to live from inside here. Yeah, I believe that was with the training to do this kind of work. You can't do this kind of ministry and not be tempted to do something else. Where you stand on one spot. When we started this ministry, we started from zero level. Yes, even mind yourself. Nothing on ground. Just preaching the word. I'm not looking at anything but preaching word. Many ministers, I know many ministers, see, I'm not saying this to shame them, that changed their message many times. In this time that we started seeing Gator, many have changed their message. There was one minister that spoke to me, that was telling me about his plan, you know. He started with this part too. Love this message. But he said, this is the focus, the kingdom message. I saw that after a while, it's not easy. He has changed the message. Because you won't sell. If it is fame you are thinking of, you cannot stay in the program of God for your life.
Yes, sir.
So I now notice that some trainings are good for you. Hallelujah. So this year will be a year of your own training.
Amen.
Many of you go to, some of you have been leaving some kind of school that God has put you in. God enrolled you in a school. You tear the admission form. You go and look for another form and go to the school you like. You have been delaying God. Because the school is supposed to meant to prepare you for your assignment. You know, the army of God, this army, we have specific parts to play. You know, if God is going to deploy you, for instance, in the business world, there's a way he will train you. He's not going to train you by so much intelligence. You will have more spirit. Your intelligence will come from spiritual. I know some people that have money, but they are so poor. Yes, they have money, but I used to wonder, how can somebody have money? I'm still afraid. it used to amaze me. And I know people that have money, but they are so afraid. They are afraid. They cannot even give. When they give, you know that this old offering is far beyond what they have. They are so afraid. So if they want to bring you to the business world, there's a way they will train you. You cannot carry money for the kingdom until money does not mean anything to you. if I know, at least I know that that will be the training. They will train you to the point that money will mean nothing to you. You can give it, if God tells you to give it to the last and it means nothing, you can do it. Because you have been trained to be like that. You know, there are some people that enter into business by sense. They are smart boys. Spirits cannot rest on them. There's a level of ownership that God does not have over your soul. So that resources is not his own resources. There's a way you tell God, don't move beyond this place. So God knows I can't go beyond this place. But there are some people that God trained. You know, Fela Dorotoye was trained by Holy Ghost. Fela started from low level. When you look at Fela, he's just fine facially. He's a spirit boy on the inside. His children. Fela was terrible. Fela started from zero level. Then when God started blessing Fela Dorotoye, Fela can give anything. Fela has bought in a bus before. He didn't use it for 1 week, he gave it out. Bought a car. He didn't use it for 2 weeks, he gave it out. I was now asking, why was God giving him that kind of commandment? You don't understand? God did not say, you should buy it and give it to the person. God allowed you to buy it. No, I don't know. Are you following me? Are you sure you like this message? So you buy it, God allows you to drive it. Then after you drive it, you just hear something. The thing will be like wind. It cross your head. You know the way fly just... Ogani, give that boss out. There's a time he wrote a testimony. He had given out 10 cars. 10 good cars. And I noticed that in 2008, he bid for a project in Oyo State. He got the contract. As at then, it was over 100 million. 2008, because I remember, as at then, he did a training that Oyo State paid him over 100 million, maybe up to 200 million. God cannot give you something that he cannot take back at will. So, I want you to be mindful of your training. Because all of us, we have training. I just shared mine, a little of my training. Some of us have been fighting training. We have been fighting training. But the Lord is going to help you this year. Amen. Your amen is so weak. Amen. Some of you sisters, please, that are married, use your husband and become spiritual. Your husband will change. Don't worry. Just use him and become spiritual. Just use him and become spiritual. He will change. At times, God can allow a weakness in a spouse to wait. No, God will not change the weakness. He will keep the weakness there for your sake. Maybe if God wants to train you and he knows that your weakness is that you like attention, God will make sure your husband does not give you attention. Yes, he won't give you attention. And that is the most thing that annoys you in your husband. But the guy will do every other thing. But you see that attention thing? He will not be able to give you. God will make sure. Because they know that that attention is anti your place. That attention is something that it damns you. When you get that attention, there's a way you cut off heaven. So, not getting attention is how heaven has access to your soul. So, your husband will not be able to give you attention. And it's not his fault because he will not... The grace for him to do it, he will be trying. He will not be able to do it. If you are wise, you will understand. Just leave him alone and focus on God. You know, some brothers, they want to beat their wife into a shape of an idol they have in their soul. They never succeeded to marry their idol, so they have married somebody there, but... Don't you see this person in church? Don't you worry. Don't you worry. Don't you worry. Shall you understand? So you know there's a way you can want to push a lady into a mold. And the more you try, it's not just that it should not work. The more you try, the more things are, there are certain things in your soul are getting loose. You're not getting more frustrated, you're not be getting angry. So gradually you are leaving ways. You are becoming an angry soul. You know, if you're not careful, marriage, not played by the wisdom of the Spirit, can lead you to another action. If you're not careful. So, you are not, maybe your wife is not responding, so you now want to be keeping malice. So, if you're not careful, you start keeping more malice. All of a sudden, a whole full grown man with full baby, will start acting like a baby. They will bring food. Yes. Oh God, you go to the park. You now start looking for witchcraft. All kind of things. You're trying to look, you may be rejecting your wife deliberately, ignoring her, verbally abusing her, just because you want to beat her to shape. Sir, you have become a witch doctor. Because even if you get that thing done, you got it done by the arm of flesh. So that thing will not profit you. But can you just wait and bear? And love and teach and be an example and allow grace to get it done. You want your wife to submit, but you will force her into submission. But you are not able to pay the price to love her to submit. But there's a way you can. I know some men that beat their wife to shape. So that when their wife hears them coming. Nah. Afraid. Nah. I'm a corimeter. That's a man. You don't understand. You know? I've walked around those corridors. There's a time Satan was trying to say, tell me, say, you are not tough. That's why. Satan did that. There was a time he did that. I was in that school for a long time. You are not tough. That's why. You are not tough. That's why. And I said, I don't want to be tough. Leave me alone. I fought that war. CJ, I fought that war. I said, I don't want to be tough. Let me be like this. Satan mocked me. Yes, he said, I'm weak. But I took that cloak of weakness. I knew that thing Satan wanted to do was to attack this work. Because I needed that kind of frame to lead this kind of work. If you are too strong, you can't lead this work. If you are too strong, you make mistake. There are a lot of people that will offend you that you have to forgive. And you know, at times, you know, forgiveness looks weak. And then you forgive some people, Satan will say you are stupid. So my prayer for you is that you allow God. I'm rounding up already. I didn't plan this message. I don't know how I got here. You are going to allow God this year. Amen. You see, you know, while I was praying during the bridge service, I said that some enemies you saw last year, you see them no more. I'm teaching you how you not see them anymore. Amen. There are some spirits that have been around your life year in, year out. They have wasted your time. They are still wasting your time. Because you have not submitted yourself to the process of disarming them. But this year, God will teach you how.
Amen.
I said God will teach you how.
Amen.
You will learn how to disarm them. In your home, you will disarm spirits.
Amen.
In your marriage, you will disarm spirits.
Amen.
In raising your children, you will disarm spirits.
Amen.
In relationship at work, you will disarm spirits.
Amen.
I said God will give you victory.
Amen.
If you're having challenge with your in-laws, you will come into victory.
Amen.
Maybe you're having challenge with your in-laws and they hate you. God will teach you how. And then you'll get their favor. Because God is going to, you know, the Bible says the Lord clothes the meek with salvation. And God will clothe you with a garment of meekness.
Amen.
The greatest mantle in the universe is the mantle of meekness. When you have meekness, even your enemies will fall in love with you. Somebody that wants to destroy you will be helping you. I said this year, God will clothe us in meekness.
Amen.
God will teach us how to be clothed in humility.
Amen.
Can we all say amen?
Amen.
I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let me just stop here. You know, I can't enter back that message again. I need to just allow this. Can we just pray? Let's pray in the spirit. Let this message rest. Let this message rest. Can you, if this thing spoke to you, can you just engage? Just engage. 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 Can you just engage for some minutes? Come on, pray for yourself. That the Lord will help you this year with sufficient wisdom to yield to the program of the Spirit for your changing, for your training. Come on, receive a supply of the Spirit. Come on, receive grace. Receive grace, receive grace. Receive grace, receive grace, receive grace. Oh yeah, lebroni ya fra papa koremena nesefara nete baka. Kajojo mele broni fra pako lobreni ya severe neke. Parole gele meke. Keremene gele meke. Keremene gele meke. Keremene mene meke. Keremene mene meke. Keremene mene meke. Keremene meke. Keremeke meke. Keremeke meke. Keremeke meke, keremeke meke, keremeke meke, keremeke meke, karomeke, kasomele, kasomele meke, karomele meke, kajojo mele meke. Come on. Come on, allow the Lord to lead you. In 2025, you receive grace for leading. Receive grace to be led by the Spirit. Receive grace to be led by the Spirit. Merimeke, Kelemerimeke, Kerimerimeke, Kerimerimeke, Parole Shabata, Parole Yelebrenia Sakata, Parole Yelebrenia Severenete, Karomesha, Karomesha, Rakete Perenibaya. Oh, come on, receive grace. Receive help from the Lord. Receive help from the Lord. Marole geremene se sefrenia keo. Keo, keo, keo. Keo, keo, keo. Keo, keo, keo. Keo, keo, keo. Keo, keo. Come on, receive mercy. Receive grace. Hallelujah. You know, I perceive some of us, God is trying to unwalk the program of called haste. The Bible says, he that believeth does not make haste. Some of you, there is a program of haste that is your problem. That is a program. Satan wrote that program. It's called haste. You are used to getting things in a certain way. But that thing is going to deny you from your next level in the spirit. So God is trying to deprogram you from haste. And God is trying to teach you the wisdom of staying in patience.
And when you are in patience, you are not grumbling. While you are in patience, you are in rejoicing and thanksgiving. You don't know how to be patient. It's your problem. And that thing is what is limiting your access in the spirit. You are almost transiting into becoming a spirit. Like I'm seeing your metamorphosis. God's plan is that you become a butterfly where you are soaring in the spirit, but you are trapped in a face. You are trapped in a face. You are strapped in a crawling face. And if you continue that way, you will not come into that state where, you know, when you are flying, you are free from the gravity pull of the earth. God wants you to be free. That program God is trying to run in your life is for your salvation. But you don't understand it. You don't appreciate it. You're always complaining. And you have been trying to unwalk the program. You are fighting God. But the Lord wants to hasten. The Lord wants to push you into that school this year. And the Lord wants your cooperation. I believe you know yourself. You're around and you have been around. I want to admonish you. Can you trust the Lord? That your patience, your learning of patience, is to acquire salvation. It's to acquire strength. In fact, your training in patience is your sustenance in the next season. At that season of your life where you begin to operate in the plan and program of God, without this learning of patience, you are going to shipwreck. You will not be able to sustain that season. So I hear the Lord says, wait for me. Wait for me. Wait in me. Wait on me. Wait by me, saith the Lord. Wait. 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 Acquire my ways. Learn my patience. Learn my patience. Learn my patience. Rejoice in my patience. Rejoice in my patience. Delight in my patience. Delight in my training. For it is the way into your victory, saith the Lord. Can we begin to thank the Lord? Let's thank Him. Pastor.
We hope you have been blessed through these words of life. You can get more messages on our website, www.thecitygatechurch.org. Stay blessed.